Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and I'm bringing to you today part two of a four-part series entitled Courageous, and today's message specifically entitled Courage to be Gracious, based off of Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 14. So let us dive into the Word today. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep growing in the knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Amen. In hard situations, God's grace can give us courage. As we allow God's grace to shape us, we can become courageous enough to give others grace too. Now, I've been a fan of sports movies most of my life because oftentimes they are a great display of gracious courage. One such film I remember watching as a kid is the 1986 high school basketball film starring Gene Hackman and Dennis Hopper entitled Hoosiers. Gene Hackman stars as Norman Dale, a coach with a spotty past who has been hired by the high school to coach the boys' basketball team. Norman's a good basketball coach, but he is also known for being extremely hard on his team, expecting them to always be at their best on and off the court. His crass manner and tough love methods are what led him to seeking a new job. As it turns out, one of Norman's players, Everett, has a father who is also very knowledgeable about basketball, knows the sport inside and out. However, he's also the town drunk. Shooter, as he is nicknamed, had become lost in his alcoholism, and, though not explicitly mentioned, he had clearly ruined his marriage and was divorced as a result. Worse yet, he ruined his relationship with his son Everett, who was seriously embarrassed by him. Norman's start with the team was rough, to say the least. He had rebellious players who bucked him at every turn, and he knew that he needed help in not only coaching them, but winning them over, bringing them together as a unit, as a team, as a family. But who could he turn to? Who knew the game inside and out and could potentially be a real asset to the team. Well, as it turns out, Norman sought help from Shooter. He came to him one day in the evening and sat down with him. And Shooter thought he was just coming over to talk about, you know, basketball stuff, talk about the ins and outs of the game. But instead, was shocked to find out that Norman was not there to talk to him about the game itself, but there to invite him to be his assistant. And you could see the excitement light up in Shooter's eyes. How awesome it would be for him to be an assistant. But Norman told him, there are conditions to this. You need to clean yourself up. You need to shave. You need to wear a suit and tie. You need to show up to the games and practices on time. And you need to sober up. And when he heard this, he paused and said, oh, no, no, no. Who sent you? My wife? My son? And Norman said, no, no. I'm coming because I want to give you this chance to be an assistant. But you can't drink around the kids. You're embarrassing your son. And of course, that didn't go over too well with Shooter to begin with. And Shooter asked him to leave. He was, you know, embarrassed and upset. And, you know, didn't want to talk about it in that moment. You can imagine how hard it would be to talk about the disease he was going through in that moment. But over time, he decided that he was going to do that. He loved basketball that much, and it gave him initiative to sober up, to clean himself up, to wear a suit and tie, to come to practices, and he became, over time, a great assistant coach. And when time came to pass, Norman even gave him the chance to coach a part of the game. Without ruining it, if you haven't seen the movie, I won't say any more, but go see the movie. It's an amazing movie. But as you can see, Norman chose to give Shooter a chance. He saw something in him, something beneath his alcoholism, something good. His choice shocked the town and, at first, angered Everett, his son. But Norman had the courage to be graceful and give Shooter, somebody that everybody else thought was unworthy. Norman had the courage to be graceful and give Shooter a chance. The rest of the film shows how that courage not only changed Shooter, but changed the team and the town community itself. Now, we all have been in situations where we needed grace from others and from God, and where we had the opportunity to extend grace to others. We've all faced that choice between shunning someone who seems unworthy, taking revenge, hanging on to resentment, or having the courage to be gracious. And in the film, Norman's courage to be gracious ends up passing on to Everett, Shooter's son, who in turn becomes gracious towards his father. In our scripture today, Paul was writing his letter to the Philippians from prison. It probably would have been easier for Paul to turn inward in this time in prison, to become defensive, jaded, filled with self-pity, or vengeful with the situation in which he found himself. Or perhaps it would have been easy for him to feel he deserved this. Remember that in his former life, Paul was Saul and was a persecutor of Christians. Instead of either of those reactions, though, Paul grounded himself in the grace and peace that God provided through Jesus Christ, as we see in verse 2. He had received forgiveness from God and now lived out of that mindset, rather than harboring resentment or feeling guilt in this difficult situation. Again, in verse 2, Paul writes, "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Paul recognized that God had given him the courage to live through these through those struggles, through the gracious support of the Philippian community. Paul was not in his situation alone. No, he wrote to the Philippians, "You hold me in your heart for all you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Paul was saying that through suffering, we become the community of grace. This shared grace and community wasn't just a comfort to Paul. It didn't just give him courage to survive the situation. It went further than that. Paul was able to extend that grace to others, to give himself over to God and allow God to use him to expand God's mission in the world. Instead of resenting his imprisoners, Paul gave them grace. He shared the gospel with them. He writes in verse 13, "It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard that my imprisonment is for Christ." Again, in the New Living Translation, which I read earlier, he writes, "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." The same exact thing. Seeing the way God was working through Paul, despite his imprisonment, had inspired others to courageously spread the good news of Jesus Christ too, as we see in verse 14, where Paul says, "And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." We often think of courage as a heroic act, but long-term courage like that of Paul invites others in to be courageous as well. If it's gracious courage, it's not proud or self-centered, but looks outward toward other people and into the world to see where the need is and to meet it, even when it's not easy or even when it is met with resistance. One of the most important ways we receive and give grace is through forgiveness. Being able to forgive others flows out of being able to accept forgiveness from God and to forgive ourselves. But let me ask you this. Are there things you need to ask forgiveness for from God, others, or yourself? Are there areas where you need to let go of resentment and hurt and move toward forgiveness again of yourself, others, or God? Friends, forgiveness takes courage, but it can also free us to be more courageous. Let's think momentarily how we have received the grace of God. As Christians, we partake in Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, in Christ's body and blood, in Christ's grace, every time we come to the table. We receive that holy mystery, not because we deserve it, but because God gives it to us graciously. We receive God's and each other's grace through fellowship with one another. We receive it through worship and through small groups. And believe it or not, we receive grace through being included in the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ. We have also received grace through generous donations. In my church over the years, many people have gracefully donated money from their estate or just out of their accounts to help us meet the needs and the ministries of our church. And they do so willingly and lovingly and joyfully because it is what God has called them to do. That grace that we have received helps out all of you, all of the people in our church. And for those of you who are in other churches, that grace has been given to those churches, no doubt, as well, and it helps out all of you. Helps out our congregation to extend grace to others. And further, God's work in the world. Some of you have extended grace through your service in various missions and ministries. In my church, some have extended their grace at our Treasures of Hope ministry, which is a thrift shop of sorts, but we don't just use it to sell stuff. We also give stuff away to those who are in need. The members of my church have shown grace, courage through grace, and extended that grace through supporting the weekend bag program. Some of them have extended grace through prayers and stitches or through prayer itself. Remember that there is courage in being gracious. There is courage in being gracious. Let us show our true gratitude for the grace we have been given by having the courage to be gracious to others. You can't even possibly imagine what long-term, lasting effect that will have on those around you. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this challenging yet encouraging message, that we have been given so much grace in our lives, oftentimes when we don't deserve it. And we have been called to be graceful to others, to love others, and to show the kind of courage that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for us so that we may be filled with your grace and extend that grace to others. Lord, nobody more than you has shown grace. Give us the courage to be gracious as well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for tuning in. It is always an honor to be able to bring you these messages, and I surely hope that they encourage you along the way. We're all growing in our faith. This is a journey we're all in together, it's just an honor to have you join in and listen to these and hopefully implement them in your lives. As always, if this is your main source of spiritual renewal each week and you don't attend a church, we would be very grateful for you if you decided that you were called to give to our ministry at First United Methodist Church of Newton, which is where I serve. The links to how you can give are in the episode notes. So I would love to have you be a part of the mission and ministry of the church wherever you are. If this is just supplemental and you attend a church elsewhere, then by all means, please give to your church. They need it as much as we do. But remember, in all things, you have been richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.